Start verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Boy, that sounds like here. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. Is that not here? And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a village, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. He said, y'all have done that enough. I'm tired of it. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. He said, your religious meetings and ceremonies are making me sick. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, this is how they pray. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. God won't hear that prayer. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts. I feel the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. I feel the Lord. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God told Israel, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of your feast. I'm tired of your celebrate. I'm tired of your fake sacrifices. I'm tired of your lying commitments. I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of it. Don't pray anymore. I'm not going to answer those prayers. Don't pray anymore. And then he goes on to name their sins. And then he says, you're sick. You're sick. You need something. You need the medicine. Then he says, like the doctor would say, come, let us reason together. He wants to write you a prescription. He wants to give you what you need. Well, I want to tell you just a couple things today about the medicine that God wants to give us as a church. Now, you know, let's be honest. It's not just the world that's sick. The world's always been sick. Filthy and vile and wicked. Always. Never been any different. Our nation's sick. And you can blame it on anything you want to. From now on, the words you're going to hear is racism. That's a lie right out of hell. Ain't got nothing to do with racism. Amen. Christians ain't prejudiced about people's color. And look, don't let people put that on you. Say, no, I'm not. I love everybody. But not everybody's going to heaven. And I can't get along with everybody. And I can't agree with everybody. Because if I did, then I'd be one that wasn't going to heaven myself. But listen, what we need, our church is sick. Our nation's sick. Our families are sick.
Come on, brother.
Our families. I'm talking about the church families. Ours. Amen. They're sick. They need some medicine. They need help. Some of you at your wits' end right now, what to do about family situation? What am I going to do? Well, number one, the first medicine that all of them need is Psalm 107, verse 20. I'm not going to give you time to turn everywhere you can if you want to, or just write them down. But Psalm 107, verse 20, I got to hurry. He says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Hebrews 4:12 said the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. You bite down into the quick. The word of God's quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And it said it divides asunder. Both soul and spirit. Even to the joints and the marrow. That means it'll heal you spiritually and physically. And we need the right medicine. I don't need somebody else's prescription. I need my prescription. And that's the word of God. Amen. Not the word of man. It's not the word of the university. The word of the White House or the Congress or the Senate, the House of Representatives, the State House or the governor. It's the word of God. I need, you need, our nation, our churches, our families need the word of God.
Amen.
Need the word of God. It's a nation. It's a church. It's a people that need a supernatural prescription. A supernatural medicine. Amen. And the Word of God is a supernatural book. And only something supernatural will turn these things around. You can't do it by the strength of man. It's got to be done by something supernatural, and that's the Word of God. The Bible said it's a living book. It's an alive book. It can show you right from wrong. It can just show you what's spiritual, what's fleshly, what's right, what's wrong. It's our final authority. We don't go by our feelings. We go by the Word of God. Our feelings they lie to us. Our heart's deceitfully wicked. These little old teenagers and youngins around here, they living by the heart. And some of you adults ain't got enough sense to look at them and say, your heart's lying to you. The Bible says, amen, it requires a supernatural instruction manual. Hey, this is the book that ought to be the book in our home, in our church, over there at the White House. Now, thank God, it's making some new entrances into government places that they didn't used to allow it. Thank God it's coming back into some schools. Thank God. Hey, but what about the church? There are a lot of churches don't even use the Bible anymore. And think about our homes. It's a supernatural book. It's written that way. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable.
Yes.
It'll work. It's good.
Yes.
It's more profitable than money or anything else. We hold a supernatural, God-inspired, eternally preserved book in our hand, the Word of God. Amen. It's the very Word of God. The very Word of God. This is not what Paul said. And I hate to hear a preacher say Paul said or James said. No, God said. He spoke it through these men that were inspired by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's God's Word. And listen, when read and applied, you know what it'll do? It'll do a supernatural work. Medicine is no good if you don't open the stinking bottle. And the Bible's no good if you don't open the book. And medicine's no good if you can open it, but if you don't take it in, the medicine's not going to work. I was hoping I had a pill or something in my pocket. Wait a minute, I got a cough drop. As long as you're sitting there, I'm going to cough. I got to open it. I got to take it in. Amen? What good's medicine, the Word of God, if you don't take it in? It ain't going to help your family. It's not going to help your children, your grandchildren. Hey, you got to open it, and you got to read it. You got to study it, and then the medicine will start to work. Trouble is, most of our homes are getting more Hollywood medicine than they are the Word of God. They're getting more from Nashville and California singing medicine. And by the way, if you let your kids listen to some of this music, you need some medicine. I better go on. Did you know it changes people? It changes hearts. It changes minds. And thereby, changing heart and mind, it turns them around back to God. Amen. The farther you get away from that book, the farther you're going to get away from God. But it's got to be read. Have you ever read the Bible? Do you read the Bible? It's a daily dose. It ought to be multiple doses daily. I take that fluoroprofen for my injured nerve in my neck. And it says, take twice a day. So I take it twice a day. You know what happens when I take it once a day? It don't work right. You know what happens when I don't take it? I hurt. And it's the same way with the Word of God. If we don't open it and we don't ingest it, we don't take it in, then we're going to hurt. Our nation hurts because we've left the Word of God. All of you ought to go to Washington, D.C. You don't need to go to France. You need to go to Washington, D.C. And you need to go up there and look over every doorpost, on every doorpost, everywhere you turn, engraved in granite, everywhere, inside and out of buildings, is the Word of God, the old King James Bible, all over that place. Well, I wonder how many of them read it now. You know what? You ought to read it. You ought to believe it. It changes things. I'm different since I started reading the Bible. My life's different. My thoughts, my ideas, my beliefs, my longings, my loves are all different because of the Word of God. Sunday school teachers, you ought to read it, then teach it. And then you ought to practice it. Amen. If you'll keep doing it, it'll work. So many people come through here and say, I want to teach Sunday school. They teach 3 or 4 months, then they quit because they think it ain't working. Well, look, we was talking about sowing in Sunday school. The sower went forth to sow. Seeds don't grow overnight. You got to keep reading it, keep reading it, keep reading it, keep reading it, keep reading it. And sooner or later, somebody in that class will get saved. And by the way, just because they're our children don't mean they don't need to be saved. They need to be saved, every one of them. And then you know what? The next thing is Psalm 40, verse 8. Psalm 40, verse 8. I'm trying to give you some medicine. The Word of God. It'll heal our nation. It'll heal our homes. It'll heal our churches. It'll heal our land. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You know, the next thing we can do to save our country and save our homes and save our churches and save our families, number one, is the Word of God. Number two, it's the will of God.
Yes, it is.
Surrender to the will of God. Quit being Frank Sinatra and singing, "I did it my way." You're going to die and go to hell if you do it your way. And if you're a Christian, you do it your way. Everybody around you is going to die and go to hell while you go to heaven.
Amen.
You're to surrender to the will of God. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways." Did I say all?
All
thy ways. Acknowledge Him. And He will direct thy path. If you'll start living right, get in the will of God, doing what He says, He'll take care of you. He'll put you where you need to be. He'll put the people in your life that you need in your life. He'll give you the job you need. He'll give you the church you need. But you've got to get in the will of God. That means doing what you know God wants you to do.
Amen.
You say, "Well, preacher, what about when I don't know what to do?" Do what you know.
Yes.
Do what you know. The right medicine is to surrender to the will of God. You say, "Preacher, what is the will of God?" Well, number one, we know that He's not willing that any should perish. Get saved.
Yeah.
And then study to show thyself approved, to work none to God that need not be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth. When you get saved, read your Bible.
Yeah.
Amen.
Then, once you read your Bible, you won't have a problem knowing what He wants you to do, because as you read the Word of God, He'll show you the will of God.
Amen.
I've been saved about a year, and boy, I was just it was like a thirsty man in the desert. I just read and read and read and read. And it got to where every time he'd tell Moses, "Go tell my children, I heard my name." And every time he told that woman at the well, "Go back and tell all your friends, I heard my name." And he told little Samuel, "Go back in there, and when the Lord calls you, go in there and say, 'Here am I, Lord.'" I said, he's calling my name. And I struggled with that for about a year, and finally I surrendered to it. I surrendered to it. Now, God has a will for you. And the right medicine to help your life as a Christian is the will of God. You cannot be a happy, spiritually healthy Christian and be out of the will of God. I'm not saying you're going to be sinless and perfect. But I'm saying you'll be a whole lot healthier and happier if you get in the will of God. What does He want you to do? Did you know some of y'all, you think you're supposed to be a preacher or something when He really wants you to be a good mother.
Yes.
He really wants you to be a good father.
Yes.
He really wants you to be a good son or a good daughter or a grandson, granddaughter. He'd like for some just to be faithful church members would be His will.
Yes.
He's not sending everybody to Haiti. He's not saying everybody stand behind a pulpit or even teach Sunday school class. But if you'll read the Word of God, He'll show you the will of God. And if you do the will of God, that's the best medicine you'll ever have. God's got a will for our nation. Now, the news media calls that nationalism. Well, it is. Everybody has nationalism. Those people that live in Germany will love Germany, and those people that live in Iraq will love Iraq, and those that live in Gastonia will love Gastonia. Those that live in Lancaster will love Lancaster. No, I'm teasing. But look, we all love our nation. Well, look, God gave me this place. God put me here. God let me be birthed here. I could have been born somewhere in a cave somewhere and not know left from right. Thank God He let me be born here. I'm not apologizing for that. It was white privilege. Somebody said something about that in Chester one time. I said, "We'll support the poor people felt sorry for us." What kind of privilege you talking about? I ain't never got nothing I didn't struggle, climb, and claw for. Amen. Get off your lazy duff and go to work. You'll have the same privilege I got. Amen. Listen, it's not black or white or green or purple or polka dotted. It's the will of God. Get in the will of God. And look, when you do that, you will change the nation that you live in. Did you know first, the will of God is to be saved. That's everybody. That's everybody. You know, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't even hardly know any Christians growing up. But my nephew right there aggravated me every Sunday. He went to church, but I'm not sure he even understood back then what he was doing. But he kept telling me I was going to go to hell if I didn't go to church. And I said, well, I just go to hell then. And I hurt his feelings and my sister's feelings. But you know, I wasn't made to go. My mama got saved when I was a young teenager, and she didn't make us, me and my younger brother, go to church. She went to church and left us. Nobody from that church ever invited us. Nobody, and I can look back on it. I'd be scared if I came to my own church, if you know. But mama should have come in there with a switch and said, "You're going to church."
Right.
Hello.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm sick. Well, you'll get over it. Come to church. At my house growing up, you had to be throwing up blood to stay out of church. Amen? Because look, we need to convince these kids, God wants to save you.
Amen.
You can't get saved and be in the will of God and sit here at home watching television while we go to church.
Amen.
Number two, the will of God, you be baptized. Make a public profession. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before this sinful and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and the angels which are in heaven. And I don't want him ashamed of me. And I'm certainly not ashamed of him. I wouldn't give you a nickel for somebody said they're saved and they've never been baptized and never joined church. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying they don't have much faith. You get baptized, you make a public profession, walk down in front of everybody, say, I accepted Christ as my Savior, I'm not ashamed of Him, and I need to get baptized to be identified with His death, burial, and resurrection, and I don't want to be ashamed of Him because I don't want Him ashamed of me. Amen? That'll change your house. That'll change your family. They'll say, he's done gone religion crazy. That David, he let that old crazy preacher baptize him. Right there in front of everybody. Amen. They done gone religion. Number three, you got to study the Bible. How you going to have faith if you don't read the book of faith? Number four, you need to get in church. A lot of people say, well, I'm a Christian, I don't go to church. I said, then you're not a Christian. I'm not saying they're not saved, but church is part of Christianity. And by the way, if you can't go to church, this is the easiest thing we do as Christians. Everything else is tough. How hard can it be to go sit down at church? They'll sit and watch a stinking football game for 2 or 3 hours. But they won't go to church. Tell me you in the will of God, you won't even go to church. I say you're lying. You're not in the will of God. He said, forsake not the assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is, even so much to more so as you see that day approaching. Get in church. It'll change you. It'll change your home. It'll change that church. It'll eventually change our nation if enough people do it.
Come on, bro.
Amen. Amen.
That's good preaching, preacher. Preach on.
The will of God. You know what you're supposed to do after you get saved and get in church? You're supposed to witness to other people.
Yeah.
It shocks me how many Christians have lockjaw. They need some medicine. Witness. Get in the will of God. Witness to people. I'm glad somebody wasn't ashamed of Jesus and they talked to me. I'd still be going to hell. If somebody had not been in the will of God and not ashamed of Christ and witnessing, I never would have been saved. Say amen right there. You know, it's funny how you used to drink. You told everybody what they ought to drink. Funny how you used to smoke. You told everybody what they ought to smoke. Funny how you used to halfway wear any clothes at all. You tell everybody the clothes they ought to wear. And then you get saved and you don't want to offend anybody by telling them about Jesus.
Come on, bro.
Yeah. That's right.
That's good preaching.
Listen,
Ain't that strange? You might offend them, tell them they ought to be smoking Winston instead of L&M. You didn't care if you hurt their feelings, told them they're short, their dress needed to be 6 inches shorter. I just threw that in there for nothing. But now you're saved and you claim to be a Christian, you claim to be in the Word of God and the will of God, but yet you won't ever talk about God to other people. God, hey, God can't heal this nation until people start opening their mouths speaking about it. Else how shall they hear without a preacher, he said. And then live right. Oh, there it is. Come out from among them. Be you separate, saith the Lord of hosts. Touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you unto myself, and you'll be my sons and my daughters. Amen. There's a whole lot of sons, people claim to be sons and daughters, but they ain't come out from among them. So he either he's a liar or they're a liar. And I'd say they are. God can't heal our nation if the saints act, behave, talk, walk, dress, behave, listen to, commune with the unbeliever. How can God heal our nation? If you had the flu, I don't like flu. You ever get the flu, Brother Dave? It'll make a grown man cry. If you get the flu, and I ain't got it, I ain't hanging around with you. Amen. I ain't even coming to see you. I'll pray for you way over there. I love you. I want what's best for you. But I'm not dumb enough with my lack of immune system to get around sick people. I love them all. But if I stay around them, I'm going to be sick too.
Amen, that's right.
That's funny how a lot of us adults say that, but yet we let our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren run with that same crowd that's sick, and we think somehow that they're not going to get it.
Come on, brother, preach it.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, growing up in Lancaster, here was the mindset. The parents would say, well, we did that, and we lived through that, and we're all right, so it must just be a rite of passage. Everybody has to go through that stage. And that's the way to raise your children. I mean, I grew up with the worst, and yet, uptown every Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, the best families' children were there with the worst of us. Doing the same things we did. And the parents would just say, well, they're just teenagers. That's the way teenagers are. Teenagers are dumb. Your 10-year-old is dumb. Your 6-year-old is dumb. That's why God gave them godly parents.
Yes. Amen.
I wish Brother Burrell had been my daddy growing up. I needed a cop for a daddy. I needed somebody to look at me and say, boy, if you do that, you're a dead man. If it don't kill you, I will. Amen. If we get parents and grandparents back like that again, it'd turn a whole generation back to God. That teenager looks and says, well, I don't get to go in there. I don't get to do nothing. I don't have no friends. Say, what a friend we have in Jesus. So you got friends you don't know nothing about. You're not smart enough to make these decisions. I'll make them for you. Amen. We lie every Sunday, and we sing "Have Thine Own Way." Then we go our own way. When I got saved, you know what I found out? God's ways are not my ways. God had to do a lot of work on me. By the way, he's still working on me. Now, last but not least, it's 14 minutes after, and that clock's 3 minutes fast. The Presbyterian's already eating. Don't worry about it. You'll get there. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. And by the way, if y'all come back on Sunday night, I wouldn't have to preach so long on Sunday morning. Hello. Nehemiah 4, look at verse 6. So built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to, what? Cuss word now. Work. Nehemiah 5:16. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land. And all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Baptists used to sing, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, then we'll be gathered way home. You're about to finish that song for me, wasn't you? Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 and 4 says this. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing,
amen.
Ooh. Wow. Amen, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. And not in another. Your mom and dad's work for God, that's not going to do you any good. Your grandma and grandpa's work, that's not going to do you, that's not going to get you one thing in heaven. The preacher's work, church's work, whoever you're looking up to, their work is not your work. Now we're not worthy for any reward. We shouldn't think ourselves something, but at the same time, we ought to be doing something other than for ourselves. Salvation is not the beginning. Hey, it's not only the beginning, but it's the whole Christian life. Salvation is not of works, it's by faith. But James said, show me your faith, and I'll show you my works, because faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
You know what you ought to do? If you want to help save this nation, quit belly aching and complaining. Hello?
Right.
Quit criticizing and all this stuff and get to work for God.
Amen.
And here's what will happen. Your work will change somebody else, and their 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 work will change somebody else. And that's how we created a Christian nation. Amen. By people doing work for God, which is serving others through Christ and leading them to Christ and things like that.
Amen.
If you want to save your family, you need to get to work for God.
Yes.
If you want to save your marriage, you need to get to work for God. If you're going to save your children, your grandchildren, you need to get to work for God. You need to be quit being self-centered, thinking you're something when you're nothing, and get to work for God for others. Our nation, our churches, our homes, our families, our children, they require somebody to get to work in the service of God for them. We've got a great position. We've got a great physician. There's nothing wrong with the doctor. There's nothing wrong with the medicine. The medicine's good. We need some nurses to administer and distribute the medicine. You know what a nurse is? A servant. Whenever you go to the hospital, a doctor, you'll thank God for nurses. You know why? I wouldn't do it for you.
I tell those nurses, I said, God put this in your heart. I couldn't know it. I can't stand to see people sick and hurting and crying and moaning and stick all things in their arm. When they walk in the room, I said, all y'all nurses went to PPU, didn't they? And what's that? I said, Polk and Prod University. You come in here to stick people. They don't ever laugh at it. Never. They never laugh at it. But we need laborers or nurses to administer the Word of God, love of God, the works of God. The prescription's already been written. We need some pharmacists to give it out. Amen. Preachers, deacons, Sunday school teachers, soul winners, faithful church members, Christian fathers, Christian mothers, Christian brothers, Christian sisters. That's how God chooses to administer this medicine and change the country. Now, our current president don't know 3 Bible verses. It's the truth. But at least you hear 3 coming out of the White House now. Instead of apologizing for being a Christian nation, and instead of saying Islam and all these other things are just as good, at least we got one that can quote 2 or 3 verses, brother. Don't you think that's good?
Praise God.
He's getting a little bit of medicine out, ain't he? And that little bit's changing things. What would happen if we got everybody in office quoting Scripture and reading the Word of God and teaching the Word of God and witnessing and getting saved? So here's what we got to do. We got to return to prayer. Our altar's empty. We got to return to worship. 3 to thrive. I say it all the time. We got to return to compassion. Having compassion on some, making a difference, he said. I know I done gone way over. Listen, it's dangerous not to do the work of God. It's dangerous. Ezekiel 33 verse 8 says this. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. God said, he said, you know I told those wicked they're going to die. You know I told them that what they're doing is going to destroy them. You know it will. And if you don't tell them, when you stand before the judgment seat, their blood will be on your hands. Oh, they still won't be thrown in the lake of fire. Don't get that wrong. But their blood, you should have said something.
Amen.
We don't need to quit talking about it in our public political realm. We need to keep the Word of God there. Somebody needs to keep talking about it. I don't care if they call it bigoted, prejudice, or whatever. We need to keep talking about the Word of God, because God's going to hold it us accountable for it.
Yes.
We don't need to quit talking about it down at church and apologize for the Bible. God's going to hold us accountable. We don't need to quit teaching our children because we're afraid we're going to scare them. Well, I don't want to talk about my kids about hell. They're too young to understand. They'll be scared. I'd rather be scared than go to hell. Well, we can't teach our children that. It'll hurt their feelings. All the other kids don't live like that. Well, I'd rather hurt their feelings and let them be odd in this present world than to fit right into hell. We need to get real. I'm going to tell that story I've told over and over, and then I'm going to quit. I know I've gone way over. But some of you ain't come back tonight. And I understand that's long distance for some of you, but others, listen to me. I had that little church in Lancashire. We called it Tabernacle Baptist Church. I was 24, 25 years old. Some guy talked to me into helping him. Me and him started. We rented a liquor store and had church in a liquor store. It was in the worst part of town. Worst part of town. All the winos and drunks were there. And we'd get there and we'd preach, and drunks would hang around across the street and watch us through the front window. We didn't have no curtains. And they'd watch me while I preached. They'd sit over there and drink wine. And some of them even came, and one of them got saved.
Amen.
Every Saturday I'd go visiting. Every Saturday I'd go down there. We lived up here, and I'd go to Lancaster, and I'd go up and down those mill hills, knocking on doors, every door I could find on the mill hill. And that boy went with me for a couple of weeks, and then he disappeared. So I'd do it by myself. And here I was, 20-something years old, had just wet behind the ears, but I'm still trying to get people to come to church. I'm trying to witness people. I led some to the Lord. I got a few in. I baptized a few. I didn't know what I was doing. Nobody told me. I didn't have a pastor to tell me how to do that. He should have, but he didn't. But anyway, every Saturday, going down there, I'd ride past this one street. It was in a neighborhood called Poovy Farm. It's the old farm where they built a neighborhood. And every day, I'd go by there, and the Holy Spirit would say, turn right here and go talk to Doug. And every Saturday, I would ignore that. Every Saturday. And then the next Saturday, I'd ride by there, and he'd say, turn right in here and go talk to Doug. You talking to everybody else? Talk to your old friend Doug. Doug was the one that brought the first marijuana joint to school. He was the one that grew his hair out first. He was the one that drank himself passed out every weekend. He was the cool kid. It's funny how we thought people was cool. Now we look back and we realize they were crazy. That wasn't cool. But he was the one. And I was afraid he'd make fun of me. He knew I got saved. He knew I was a preacher. I hadn't talked to him since. And then finally, after about 3 months, somebody said, Doug had been in a car wreck and got crippled. Now he was a paraplegic, couldn't get out of bed. His friends take him liquor. His friends take him LSD. And he laid in that bed. And somebody said, you heard about Doug? I said, no, what? They said he died. And immediately, the Holy Ghost of God took his finger and pricked my heart immediately. And I started crying. And after that, every time I rode by that road, I cried. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going to have a few rewards. I'm really worth it. But when it comes to great white throne of judgment, I'm going to be standing behind the throne of God, and so is every believer. We'll all be back here, innumerable numbers. And the lost will be out there, and God's going to call them up one at a time. And he's going to say, look in the books. And he's going to say, your name ain't in there. He's going to say, cast him in the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But you know what Doug's going to do when he does that? I think this. He's going to say, you see that guy right there? He said he was my friend. And he never told me. He never even come around after he got saved. That man right there. His blood's going to be on my hands. Now, folks, I had the medicine. I was just too weak to take it to him. And the same thing's happening to some of y'all right now. Even in your own family. Those were the hardest people to witness to, was my family. Thank God, as far as I know, most of them got in after I got saved. All but one.